Welcome to the Reign of Grace radio broadcast. My name is Bill Parker. I'm the pastor of the 13th Street Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. This program is sponsored by the members of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia, located at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia. I'll be bringing you a gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ from God's holy word. And now, the message.
Welcome to our program. Now today I'm going to be preaching from the book of John, chapter 9. And the title of the message is this: I was blind, now I see. I was blind, now I see. Now we've talked about in past programs the purpose of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed here on earth and his earthly mission. These miracles that he performed, and he performed many miracles, and many of them were miracles of healing, which is what we're going to talk about today. And these miracles were not an end in and of themselves. They weren't just to draw attention to the miracle, but they were performed by the Lord, done by the Lord, accomplished by the Lord for several reasons. Number one, to give credit to his deity. Now here we're going to be talking about him giving sight to a blind man, a man who was blind from birth. And only God can give sight to the blind. So this was a testimony to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, these miracles were testimonies to the authority of his word. That when he spoke according in power to the authority of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he had authority. And then thirdly, these miracles were to give a testimony to his ability and his power. He is able. You see, and this applies to salvation now. Not only to physical healing, but it also applies to his ability to save sinners from their sins. In fact, that is the main thrust of these miracles we're going to see. If he can heal, if he can raise the dead and give sight to the blind, make the lame walk and the dumb speak and the deaf hear, if he can calm the storm, you remember when he calmed the storm, he said, "Peace be still." If he can have power over men, power over this world, then he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto the Father by him. He has the power to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. The Pharisees recognized that. When he spoke of him forgiving sins, they called it blasphemy because they said only God can forgive sin. Well, he is God. Now, he's man. We talked about that. He's the God-man. God and man in one person. And he performed these miracles. He accomplished these miracles. And then another purpose for these miracles, and we see this from the viewpoint of the Word of God by the Spirit of God, is that they are living illustrations of salvation, how God saves sinners in some aspect of salvation, sometimes in all aspects of salvation. Now, I want you to look at this in John chapter 9 in this way. Here is a living illustration, not just simply of the power of Christ to give physical sight to a physically blind man, but his power to give spiritual sight to spiritually blind sinners. Only God can do that. You can't give yourself spiritual sight. And I want to show you that. It says in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Now, one old preacher made this statement. You know, we talk about the three R's in education. You hear about that, you know, that when we send our children to school, we want them to learn the three R's in reading, writing, and arithmetic. And that's just a play on words because, you know, certainly that's not the right spelling. But one old preacher said that there are three R's in the gospel. And those three R's would be this: ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this in illustration here in this miracle. It says he was blind from birth. That is a good illustration of our spiritual, of our birth in Adam, because in Adam we were ruined by the fall. When Adam fell, we fell. We not only became spiritually blind in Adam, we became spiritually dead, ruined completely. Adam's fall was a complete fall away from God, away from God's favor, away from God's fellowship and communion. It was total alienation from God. That's what it means to be lost. Totally without God, alienated from God. And that brought him into spiritual death. That is, he had no spiritual ability to love God and serve God and believe God. He's like a dead man spiritually. And we who are in Adam, that's the whole human race whom Adam represented, we fell in him. We became spiritually dead in Adam, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all sin. Romans 5 and verse 12. For as in Adam all die, all whom Adam represented. So in man, in physical birth, there is no spiritual life. Now this man was born physically blind. But I'll tell you, that's a good illustration of the first R, ruined by the fall. We're born spiritually blind. We don't have, by nature, in our physical birth, in our physical faculties, we do not have the spiritual ability to see the glory of God, to see the value of Christ, to see even our sinfulness. That's why men and women think by nature that they're better than they are. That's why sinners seek salvation by works. You know, if you think salvation from a holy God is by your works in any way, at any stage, to any degree, for any reason, that is proof that you're spiritually blind. You don't even have the ability to look into the mirror of God's Word and see yourself as you really are. Somebody's got to give you spiritual sight. You can't give it to yourself. Your friends can't give it to you. Mom and Dad can't give it to you. Look at verse 2 here. It says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, they were indicating a common misconception about sin at that time. They thought, well, because this man was born blind, either his parents or he himself sinned. Well, obviously he himself couldn't have, because he was born that way. You see, being lost is a matter of being born of the flesh. That's why we need the new birth. That's why the Scripture says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We need a spiritual birth. But they were trying to connect his blindness to some particular sin. Well, now listen to me. All spiritual blindness can be traced right back to Adam's fall, ruined by the fall. We fell in Adam, and that spiritual blindness is a judgment of God and a consequence of that sin. But now this physical blindness couldn't be traced to any particular sin. Some are born with physical sight. Some are born spiritually blind. Some who are born with physical sight become blind later. You may not be able to connect that to any particular sin, and it's self-righteous to try to do so. But look here in verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now this is an amazing thing here. Did you hear what the Word of God said in this passage? This man was born physically blind for the express purpose that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's why he was born. That's why God's chosen people, God's elect, Christ's sheep, are born into this world. They're born spiritually dead just like anybody else. But they're born for the specific purpose that the works of God should be made manifest in them. They are objects of God's eternal love, unconditional love. They are objects of His grace, and they're objects of His power. And God is going to make Himself known in the salvation of His people. That's an amazing thing. Christ said in verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. What he's saying is, now is the time to do the work. And he goes on, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now you see there, he gives physical sight, physical light. He said, listen, in creation, God said, let there be light. There was light. He set the sun in the heavens, the moon, all that is light. He separated light from darkness. He is also the giver and the author of spiritual light, spiritual sight. It says in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. He smeared that clay, mixed that dirt mixed with his spit, that clay on that blind man's eyes. What a way to give physical sight. But you see, the Lord uses what he will according to his power. There's no power in clay and spit to give physical sight. The power is in Christ. And I imagine it was a very humiliating and an experience of humility among men to do something like that. Why not call down fire from heaven? No, he reached down and he took from the earth and he in his power, brought physical sight to this man. Well, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God in the heavens who came down to this earth and was born of a virgin. He was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. He had a perfect humanity, body and soul. And in the capacity as God-man, he walked this earth and saved his people from their sins. And as God-man, he sends his Spirit to give spiritual light. Verse 7 says, he said unto the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. You see, those who preach the gospel are sent of God, and those who hear the gospel are sent to the gospel. And it says, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing. He was healed. He did what the Lord told him to do, and he came seeing. He had physical sight. Now, in the rest of this chapter, we see some confusion. We see some doubts given by the Pharisees, the religious people of the day. His neighbors, verse 8, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? He was a beggar, too. That's a good illustration of lost people, beggars, you see. And when God gives them spiritual sight, they become mercy beggars. They beg for mercy at the mercy seat, which is Christ. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am. In other words, they didn't believe that it was the same guy, but he said, well, it's me. That's what he's telling them. It says, therefore, verse 10, is that, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. This said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. How did you receive your sight? Well, this man didn't know how. It's like when we receive spiritual life by the Spirit in the new birth, in regeneration. We don't really know how that happens. Now, some people think they know, but I'll tell you, they're just being foolish. God doesn't reveal that. We just know that it's life from Christ by His Spirit. I've heard men try to explain that, try to theologize it and doctrinalize it, what goes on in the heart of a sinner. We don't know that. We know he's given a new heart. The Bible says his heart is changed. The Bible says Christ enters his heart. He's given spiritual life. Some people call it a nature. Some people call it a principle, and they argue over that, and it's just foolishness. Now, let me tell you. Here's what this blind man, look here what he said here. He says in verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime that was blind. Now, they brought him to the Pharisees, and these Pharisees began to question him. He told them what happened. It says in verse 14, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed. And now I see. I see now. And therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was a division among them. Now you think about that. Here's a man who'd been blind from birth. And now he was given sight. And rather than rejoicing in the fact that this man could now see, oh, they were so concerned with their religious traditions. Oh, he did this on the Sabbath, they said. Well, now let me tell you, I've explained this to you before, just like the man who was by the pool of Bethesda. And they challenged Christ on that because he'd healed the man on the Sabbath day, saying, you broke the Sabbath. You're a sinner. And a man who's a sinner is not of God. And he could not do these things because he broke the Sabbath. Christ did not break the Sabbath here. Christ is the Sabbath. I'll tell you, I wish this is something we need to get hold of. Christ, what is the Sabbath? It's rest from labor. And when we come to Christ, when we're given spiritual sight, spiritual life, how do we know we have that? Not because we can explain what happens inside of us. The only way we know we have spiritual life and spiritual sight is we look to Christ and we rest in Him and His finished work for our whole salvation. He's our Sabbath. My whole salvation, the forgiveness of my sins, my justification before God, is all based upon His blood, His shed blood, and His righteousness imputed, charged to me, given to me. My sins were charged to Him, laid upon Him, accounted to Him. He bore them to the cross, and He took upon Himself the responsibility of my debt, and He paid it in full. He finished the work. He brought forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value whereby God could be just and justify an ungodly sinner like me. Christ finished the work. And when we're given spiritual life in the new birth, when we're regenerated, you see, we're ruined by the fall, but we're redeemed, bought back again, and justified by the blood of Christ. It's by His work, not yours, not mine. And therefore, out of that great salvation that Christ accomplished and finished on Calvary, He sends forth His Spirit to give us His people spiritual life, to regenerate them by the Spirit, to give them spiritual eyes to see their own sinfulness and depravity and wickedness, even our best efforts, spiritual eyes to see His glory and the power of who He is. He's God-man. And the glory of His finished work so that we by faith rest in Him. But they just couldn't understand this. So they questioned this blind man. They questioned his parents. They just wanted to know the details so that they could catch him up. They said to him, over in verse 26, you can read the whole chapter. But they said to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? In verse 27, he answered them, he said, I have told you already, and you didn't hear. There's an issue of spiritual hearing there. You see, men by nature hear what they want to hear. And they refuse to hear the Word of God. We've already seen that in the book of John. Christ said, he that is of God, he that is chosen of God, he that is redeemed of God, he that is regenerated of God, born again from above, hears God's words. And that just doesn't mean hear them physically. It means he believes them. It means he submits to them. He loves the Word of God. It's his desire. It's written in his heart. And he longs to obey God and to hear God. These words are life because Christ is our life. And he said, you didn't hear. Wherefore or why would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Now the man here is sort of mocking them, isn't he? I've told you, they kept questioning. They wanted to catch him up in a lie so that they could bring a charge against the Lord. And they kept questioning. Again, they questioned his parents. His parents told him, say, well, you ask him. He's an adult. He's a responsible adult. He knows what he went through. You ask him. And so they came back and they asked him. He said, why are you questioning me again? I've told you and you didn't believe it. Do you want to be his disciple? Well, obviously they didn't. It says in verse 28, then they reviled him. And they said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Now, you know what they're saying there. Most people, they read a statement like that and they just look right over it. They looked at him, they reviled him, they ridiculed him, they berated him, and they said, you're his disciple. My friend, if that's the charge you've got against me, go ahead and ring it forth. I'm Christ's disciple. I'm one who follows him. But they said, we don't follow him. We follow Moses. Now, what do they mean by that? That means they thought that they kept the law. The law of Moses. You see, Moses stood for the law in his office. And God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law, the law of sacrifice and priesthood, the civil law that was given to Israel, that presided over them for over 1,500 years in their national government. And so they thought that salvation and acceptance before God was based upon their keeping the law of Moses. Now, Christ had already told them, as recorded back in John chapter 5, that it's impossible for any sinner to be saved based on works of the law. And he told the Pharisees, he said, Moses, in whom you trust, will be your judge and your downfall. You see, Moses didn't trust in the law for salvation. Moses looked to Christ. Moses was a prophet. And he saw the law for what it is. It is an instrument to bring us in guilty by judgment and drive us to Christ for righteousness and eternal life. So they said, we're Moses' disciple. Verse 29 in chapter 9, it says, we know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We know God spoke to Moses. Well, God did. But they didn't hear him. They're saying, we don't know where this Jesus of Nazareth, where he's from. Verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. This is an amazing thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. It's amazing that you don't know where he come from, and yet he has the power to give sight to the blind. Well, if he has power to give sight to the blind, he's of God. He was sent from God. He is God. And that's what this blind man's saying. It's amazing to me that you don't know these things. These masters of Israel, these THVs, these leaders, these quoters of Scripture, studiers of the Scripture, students, you say. And he says, you don't know where he come from, but he's opened mine eyes. Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now, sinner there is one without God, an unbeliever. But those who worship God, my friend, you can't worship and serve God apart from Christ. That's right. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, there's no worshiping, serving, obeying, trusting God apart from Christ. Christ said that. He said, I and the Father are one. And he says, him that doeth his will. What is his will? His will is to look to his Son. Believe in his Son. Trust in him for all life and righteousness. Him he heareth. In verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And then they cast him out. They excommunicated him. Well, you know what his testimony was to them? His main testimony, back up in verse 25, was this. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I was blind. Now, if you fellas worried about all the religious traditions, I was blind, now I see. Jesus heard that they cast him out in verse 35, and when he'd found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now we're going to see where the man is brought to spiritual sight. He'd already been brought to physical sight, and he was seeking. But now Christ is going to give him spiritual sight. He says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now he had spiritual sight. Now he saw the Lord of glory. Now he saw Christ, the Lord, his righteousness. Verse 39 says, Jesus said, for judgment I come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. We think we see before God brings us down. And then he gives us spiritual sight. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, verse 41, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. What he means by that is this. You think you're okay. But if you saw your condition, if you saw your sin and your depravity, if you had spiritual sight to see yourself and your works as they really are before a holy God, an abomination, even wicked and evil in the sight of God, if you had spiritual sight to see that, you'd come to Christ. But you deny Christ, claiming that you already see enough, claiming that you already know the truth, claiming that you're already children of God. Therefore, your sin remains. My friend, the only way, now listen to me, the only way that you're going to seek a cure for any physical disease is if you know and admit that you've got that disease. Then you'll seek the cure. But as long as you think you're okay and insist that you're fine, that disease remains. And it'll kill you. And that's the way it is with sin. See, by nature, we're just like this blind man, ruined by the fall, spiritually dead, spiritually blind. But those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, justified by His righteousness, He sends His Spirit into the world, and He gives spiritual life. He gives spiritual hearing. He gives spiritual understanding. He gives spiritual sight, so that the sinner who's born again from above can say, just like this blind man, I was blind, now I see. Now I see what I am in myself. I see what I was without God, without Christ. I see the wickedness of my best works, but now I see the glory of the Son of God incarnate. I see Christ. I see the power of His blood. I see the glory of His righteousness, and I come to Him begging for mercy. Oh, my soul, anyone who has spiritual sight, it's a gift from God, and they'll come to Christ. I hope that message has been helpful to your understanding of the gospel of Christ and the power and glory of His person and work. If you'd like to get a copy of this message, the announcer will give you the details. The title of the message is, I Was Blind, Now I See. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We're glad you could join us for today's message. If you would like to receive a copy of this message, or if you would like more information about Eager Avenue Grace Church, remember we are located at 1102 Eager Drive in Albany, Georgia. You can call us at 229-432-6969 or visit our Reign of Grace website at www.rofgrace.com. Thank you, and may the Lord be with you.